This is topic three, and we'll continue discussing principles that are involved with coaching effectiveness. The third principle is the principle of self-control. The perception of being in control is a characteristic of elite athletes. It also is a feature of higher levels of motivation, the consistency of goal achievement, and is very much involved in sports satisfaction. Being in self-control often is referred to as internality, that is, it's an internal orientation to adapting to a particular environment. Self-control results in greater amounts of self-motivation, which is the strongest form and source of motivation itself. Self-controlled individuals handle stress better and solve problems more effectively. Self-controlled persons are more capable of self-direction in all situations, whether they be good or bad. Self-controls have better self-concepts, and so the question becomes for a coach, how do we develop self-control? How do we change an individual's self-concept? In your workbook, there is a model for developing self-control, and it's on page 6. There are a number of steps which are described here, and they are an example of a generalized model for teaching athletes how to develop self-control of the activities that they're doing. Let's briefly look at the model. A successful response is observed in the athlete. The coach come over and ask them, "Tell me something good about that effort." The athlete makes a reply. If the reply is a good one and has the qualities and analyzes the effort appropriately, then the coach says that's right and can also increase the value of the positive response by a pat or a hug or a squeeze, some form of body language or minor contact. And then the coach instructs the athlete to tell yourself things like that each time you do things well. This sequence should be repeated as often as possible until the athlete gives natural, complete answers. Along the way to developing this skill, the coach would come up and ask, "Tell me the things you just said to yourself that picked out the positive and good things you just did in that response." In other words, we keep checking the athletes to see that they are reacting positively and analytically and under control to all the activities that are involved in their sport. There are other things that an athlete can do to improve self-motivation through being in control of the activities they do. Here are some of them. The first is, before going to sleep at night, have the athletes recall and concentrate on the good aspects of the day's training. That should be a ritualized activity. There is some research that suggests that what one thinks about, or at least the mood of thinking that occurs as one falls asleep, affects the type of sleep and the content of the thoughts that are committed to long-term memory during that sleep. Another thing is to periodically have the athlete go to a quiet area where there are no distractions. When there, think about what he or she wants to get out of the sport and what is the ultimate goal. This is a self-reflective, self-counseling session. It's a time when the athlete can think about their sport, their involvement in the sport, without any other intrusion. Positive sessions of this nature go a long way to building high levels of commitment to particular forms of participation. A third activity is to have the athlete periodically describe what they do well in the sport, what are their weaknesses, and how they can improve those weaknesses. A coach who elicits these forms of information from the athlete forces the athlete to verbalize these factors, and in doing that verbalization, they're developing control over how they perceive the activities of their sport. A coach should not consider any limit to any athlete's ability. They should be encouraged to believe that they can always improve. Certainly from a skilled domain which has no ceiling level of performance, an athlete should always be able to improve in performance, particularly in the skill element domain. Final activity is to teach an athlete to seek at least one improvement feature in every training session. This may sound hard if one only uses absolute performance as the criterion for improvement. But if a sporting activity is broken down into building blocks across physiological, biomechanical, and psychological areas, and each of those areas is divided into specific tasks which are measurable, then there should be some facet of every training session that an athlete can walk away with a positive perception of having improved in something. This throws a great degree of responsibility on the coach to provide effective training sessions where most of the training activities are relevant to competitive performances. There are three major implications to the principle of self-control. Those implications for effective coaching are these. Change from coach-dependent individuals at the beginner level to self-dependent athletes at the advanced level. That is, athletes will change from being coach-dependent to coach-independent. As they become experienced and mature, they should become more of a cooperative cohort in the development of the athlete and the athletic experience than always being subjugated by the coach. The second implication is to adopt training procedures to develop this self-control capacity. I've given some examples of the types of interactions that occur between an athlete and a coach to develop self-control in a training situation, and other examples of activities that can also build it more so that there is total internal control in the athlete for the things that do occur in the sporting experience. To develop self-control is a big change required for many coaches. We have coaching organizations and coaching cultures which always perceive the coach to be dominant over athletes. However, world champions and world record holders do not exhibit such a subordinate role. By adopting a dominant role, at some stage, coaches are probably suppressing the ability of athletes to develop to their maximum. A change in the perspective and the role of the coaching is required. On the website page is a diagram. This diagram is externality measures for world champions and world record holders. It's a bar graph of responses. Low external scores indicate high internal scores. It can be seen that the majority of the world champions and record holders in this graph have external scores of 3 or less, supporting the contention that internal control as an allied concept and part of self-control is a feature of the very, very best athletes. It is a coach's responsibility to develop self-control in athletes rather than always keeping athletes under the dominance of the coach. This completes part 1 of topic 3.